You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Well, good morning. We, like I said, we're starting a new series called Gifts, and we're going to be talking about things that are actually not what you would expect to be talking about at Christmas time, but you'll see. But before we get into what all this is going to mean, I'm going to need some volunteers, and you're not actually volunteering because I'm forcing you, so it's more like a draft conscription than it is an actual volunteer. So can we turn on the house lights here so we can see some things? I need to know, is there anyone in the room, and I hope I get this right because I'm not from around these parts, at least not previous to the last 15 years or longer. Is there anyone here that went to Chief Logan High School? Is that correct? Did I get that right? Is that a school? Raise your hand if you went to Chief Logan. Okay. All right. Yes, Brenda, perfectly. And Brenda, could you please come up and bring anything like your jacket and your purse, anything that you might have about you? So you're not going to do anything embarrassing. So stand by. Okay, now I need to know, is there anyone in the room who has a birthday in this month, in December? Okay, well, yeah, I do. Anybody has a birthday? All right, yes. No, not behind you. I'm sorry. Yeah, we're going to get... I can't even see. Who is it? That's Jim, right? Yeah, all right, come on up. Do you have anything, by the way? Okay, so come on up. Just stand right here. Okay, now I need someone who is under the age of 20. Raise your hand if you're under the age of 20 in this room. All right. Yeah. Wait, where else? What have we got here? We've already got some. Okay, yeah. Why don't we get the Siler? I'm sorry. I need to know which one you are. Aiden. All right. Oh, thanks. Oh, we got two Silers. Aw. I was going to avoid the family thing, but all right. I guess we're stuck with... There's like, you're all related anyway. okay. Now I need someone who... you're the birthday in December, right? When's your birthday? 14th. Okay. All right. Cool. Now I need someone... I've got a good... Okay. I need a female who has blonde hair. Kurt. All right, a female who has blonde hair. All right, you're not raising your hand, but your hair is standing out. So there's like three right in a row here. Is it going to be Jody? Is it going to be Nikki? Or is it going to be Carrie? So like, I should say if you have blonde hair and your name ends with an I, how about that? That's kind of wild. All right, sorry, Carrie, you're close to the aisle, you lose. All right, and 1, 2, 3, that's 4. And how about... I don't know. Give me something exciting like, I don't know, John Unks. Good. If your name is John Unks. All right. Come on up and bring anything you might have with you. All right. Excellent. Okay. So here's what you're going to do. You need to actually come over here. You guys can come over here. I'm not to be seen. You are. Okay. What we're going to do is the five of you, okay, are going to work together. And depending on what you've got with your stuff, I might even allow audience participation. But what you're going to do is your task here is to recreate on this paper right here, this picture. You're going to recreate that picture on here, and you're all going to need to work together to do it. Okay? Do you understand what you're doing? So you're going to recreate that picture. Everybody knows Christmas, Charlie Brown, right? You have the whole deal there. Okay, here's the deal. I'm not giving you anything to do it. So you need to, if you have something in your purse, in your pockets, we'll even take some offerings from the audience here to help you create that picture as close as you can. Okay? So you're not even looking excited about this. Okay. So do you have anything you can write with? I mean, it doesn't even have to be a pen or a pencil. It could be like makeup. Do you have lipstick? Chapstick? It could be chapstick. All right? And we'll have you do that. You need to go find something, man. And if you don't have anything in your pocket, go. Go find somebody. Talk to somebody. Beg, borrow. Okay, well, you're all going to need one, though. Everybody has to work together, so you got to go find something. You can get whatever you can get. If anybody wants to volunteer anything, no, you're not allowed to offer anything from back there. All right. Do you have something? You got pens? Oh, we have two pens. Oh, we got two pens. Okay. All right. It's a pencil. Okay. All right. You got a highlighter? Oh, what is that?
I have no idea.
I think you should go with that. Where are you going? Oh, okay. Hey, no, you already had your shot, buddy. What is this?
Who
are you? No, you can't write with me. All right. So, do you understand your task? You each have, so pick what you're going to use to write with. You can't switch after you get that because we don't have time for all that. So pick which one you're going to use. And, all right. So, yeah, hey, I hear some, like, working together. He's got green for the tree is what he said. Okay, so we're going to give you a little bit of a background drawing music. You can put your jacket down if you want, like over on the piano, or just throw it on that guitar. I'm sure it's not worth anything. You could just throw stilts against it if you want. Okay, so we got a little bit of drawing music. Come closer to the easel. A scary moment here, but I think we're okay. All right, let's get a little music and go. All right. Wow. So why don't you back off so everybody can see this picture put together. That's really good. Give them a hand. You totally blew my illustration because it's really good. But let me ask you this. Were I to have given you a blue marker, you know, and who had the blue? You had the blue, right? You had the red. So if I gave you like a red marker and then you had black and I gave you like a brown marker and then who had the green? Did you have green? Oh, you had the green. Oh, you had two colors. Oh, see, that's why it was so good because you cheated. So if I had given you the markers ahead of time, do you think that you would have done, it would have been a little bit easier? Do you think so? Yes? Yes is the answer. Yes is the answer. Because you didn't have to waste. What is this exactly? What, no, I know what the tree is, but no, what's the, is that lipstick? All right, thank you. Ding! Available now on Amazon.com/smile, and you can send 0.5% to Forward Edge. Okay. All right, well, you guys did a really good job, and I do need those markers back. So I'm going to have you do it again with the markers, because using the actual tools would have made it a whole lot better, but you did a really good job. So give me my markers back, and let me rethink while I'm going to teach this, but give them a hand, and you guys can have a seat. But here's the deal, right? If I gave them a task, and of course they had to kind of go hunting, and if I didn't, that's what I shouldn't have. I should have just had you stay with what you had up here. I got generous. And if I just said, okay, here is your task, go, and I didn't give you the tools to do it, it would have made it pretty much a challenge. It would have been harder to do, and you know, this is lipstick. Who knows what's going to happen? By the way, it was suggested that we auction this off a little bit later, and we'll give the proceeds to, I don't know, getting rid of the moist heat in the air and putting that towards. So we'll start the bidding at $3,000. And so if you're interested, it's a silent bid. So just text, yes, I want to give you $3,000 to S-E-A-N. No. Anyway, if I had given them the tools, it would have been an easier process. It would have been easier for them to do it and say, okay, here's your color, here's your color, here's your color. And even still, working together, they did a great, great job putting this picture together. But here's the thing. I want you to understand, when it comes to us, as followers of Jesus, God has given us a task. God has given us a task of sharing, of spreading His fame, essentially, throughout the world, letting others see who He is through us and in us, and to share that message in so many different ways, and to help build up the body of Christ. I mean, it's kind of the whole C3 process. We're supposed to be involved in caring, or in community and congregation and caring. And the thing about this whole task that God has set before us is that He didn't say, this is what I want you to do, and go. He didn't say, do it. He didn't say, make disciples of all nations, and good luck. I hope you figure it out. He didn't say, I hope in your pockets you've got some CoverGirl lipstick from Walmart or Amazon. He didn't say, I hope you can find what you need. He said, I want you to do this thing called making disciples. I want you to make disciples of all nations. I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And He doesn't say, just go and figure it out. He says, I'm going to give you the tools to do it. And so that's what this series is all about. It's about gifts. And as followers of Jesus, we have been given gifts. And God says, I want you to make disciples. I want you to do this thing. And I'm not just saying, go figure it out on your own. He has given us gifts, tools to use so that we can accomplish that goal. And I'm running out of stalling. Are we good yet? No. All right. Well, the point is, and eventually the point will come up on the screen, is that if you're a Christ follower, then you're a gift bearer. If you're a Christ follower, there we go, then you're a gift bearer. And I want you to get that because we're going to build on all 3 weeks of this month because the fourth month of December is Christmas Day, and that's an opportunity for you to spend with your families, where however that looks. But over these next 3 weeks, and I want you to also understand that each week is building. So I'm going to leave a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of things open-ended today as we set up this idea of what are gifts. And again, this is why it's different from Christmas, a typical Christmas thing. We're not talking about, I mean, we are talking about Jesus, but we're not talking about Bethlehem and all of that. But the idea that we, as followers of Jesus, have been given gifts. So if you are a Christ follower, and that's an important if, and we'll get to that in a moment. But if you are a Christ follower, then you are a gift bearer. You have been given one or more gifts to accomplish the task that God has put in front of us. And that is to make disciples. That is to share His fame, to spread the name of Jesus throughout the world. And so we're going to be looking at this this passage in Romans chapter 12. And so you can go ahead and, if you have the YouVersion app, just tap on that scene in Men in Black. Anybody? I'm old. Sorry. If you have your Bibles, you can YouVersion app, Romans 12, we're going to look there. If you have paper Bibles, you can open that as well. But I want to talk about this idea of painting the perfect picture, which, seriously, guys, you did too good of a job. All right, from now on, I'll have to have you do it blindfolded or something. But Kendra's doing the exact same thing with the kids up in Ignition, so maybe they'll have a better shot. But I want to talk about painting the perfect picture, and God has given us this task, this picture that He wants us to create. And this picture is a world, essentially, that is following Jesus, that are disciples that are becoming more and more like Jesus every day, that are following Him. And that's what a disciple is. We've talked about that before. Someone that follows in the steps of their teacher, of their rabbi, of their leader. And that is Jesus. So let's look at Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 3, and then we'll kind of come back to it. This is Paul writing. He writes to the church in Rome that he planted, Rome being the capital of Italy. It's kind of a big deal. And so he's writing this letter to the church in Rome, and he says to them, beginning in verse 3, because of the privilege and authority that God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts. You good there? God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And so you've got this passage in Romans 12 talking about, and we're going to look at, there's three very, very distinct, very apparent passages in the Bible about gifts, and there's a couple more that they kind of talk about as well, and we're going to be looking at some of them, and like I said, there's going to be a lot of unanswered questions, because I want to do some basic things over the course of this series. But here in Romans 12, Paul talks about how we have been given the tools to paint this picture. We have been given the specific unique colors. And of course, my plan was that everybody would have one color. And the color is their part. That's their job to do in reproducing the Charlie Brown picture. But in painting the perfect picture, there's things you need to understand as we get into this. First of all, you need to realize, and I don't mean to like beat you up or anything like that, but you're not the top. You're not the top. You're not the best. You're not the most important person in this world. You're not the most important person in this room. And you might even be richer than everyone in this room. It doesn't mean you're better. You might be wiser than everyone in this room. It doesn't mean you're better. You might be in front of everybody in this room, and it doesn't mean you're better. Because we, and we'll see in a moment, we fit together. But it's important, before we get into the idea of fitting together, and we're going to talk more about this next week, to understand that you're not all that. You're not the most important thing to this world. You're not God's gift to creation. You're not that. You have value. You have meaning. You have purpose. We talked about some of that last month. But if you walk around going, hey, I'm the best, then clearly you're not walking humbly with your God. But you're not the top. And this is what he says in Romans 12, verse 3. He says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me. And that phrase, privilege and authority, the Greek word there is charis. Charis is the Greek word for grace. He says, because of the grace God has given me, and grace is unmerited favor. It's something we don't deserve. And the root of that is kara, which means joy. And so this word grace, this charis, has this root idea of joy, of something that is wonderful. And so Paul says, because of the charis, because of the grace God has given to me, I want to give you this warning. So he says, you know, I'm not trying to be obnoxious. I'm not trying to be to be all, you know, all that. I'm saying you need to be careful. He says, don't think you are better than you really are. He says, before we get into this whole thing of how we work together, of how we create this picture, how we do the task that God has set out to do, he says, we need to understand that we're not better than everyone else. Don't think you're better than you really are. He says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given to us. And I don't, you know, I talk about the New Testament, let me back up, was written in Greek. That's the language they spoke. And so we have translations that are translated into English. And sometimes, if you've learned any other language besides the English language, because the English language is so easy and clear to understand, if you've learned any other language, sometimes you realize that things are lost in translation. And there's something here that I think is really interesting to see that we never see in English that is in the Greek. The first thing to understand is that when he says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. The word evaluation, the Greek word, is phronio. P-H-R-O-N-E-O. Phronio. It means to evaluate. It means to have an opinion. To have a mindset. To think. So to this idea of phronio, he says, be honest in the way you think. Be honest in your mindset. Be honest in your evaluation. In your phronio. And so that's what the word evaluation to think means. But he says here earlier, when he says, don't think you are better than you really are, and I'll make sure I get the right phrase, to think you are better, that Greek word there, because Paul's doing something with the Greek here, the Greek word there is hyperphronio. So he says, you know, we need to evaluate ourselves, have a mindset, but he says, don't think you're better. Don't be hyperphronio. Don't think of yourself better than you are. Don't be all hyper. Don't be like, not hyper like fast, but amplifying this opinion, this mindset, and says, oh, I'm pretty good. So Paul says, don't be hyperphronio, but be honest. And the word honest there is a word, a Greek word, it's sophronio. And it has the root there tied together of phronio with sophia, which means wisdom. And so he's talking about, in this idea, he says, make sure that you are wisely thinking about yourself as you evaluate. So he says, don't be hyperphronio. Make sure that you're sophronio, wise, when you phronio yourself. So there's this idea of some things here that are kind of lost. But he says, you're not better than everyone else. You're not that spectacular. There's no one around you that in any way are you superior. And again, we talked about this last month. I believe it's do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. That'll be the third week of the requirement series where we talked about the idea of arrogance and humility and what that looks like. But Paul kind of sets this up, and it's important because if we think of ourselves more highly than we should, then we're going to miss the fact that you need people around you that are lesser than you. And if you think you're better than them, then suddenly you're going to have a problem. Because, you know, well, I don't need them. I'm better than everybody. And I think it's fair to say, when he says, be honest in your evaluation, when he says, sophronio, he says, recognize who you are. Just be real. Be wise in your thinking about yourself. Because we're also going to realize in a moment here that you're not better than everyone else, but you're not less than anyone else either. Because God has given us gifts together. And I'm going to bleed into these weeks. They're going to run into next week and the next week after that. And it's just deal, people. But understand that he says, make sure that you're not thinking of yourself better than you are. Don't think of yourself less than you are. Just sophronio. In wisdom, think of yourself. Recognize where you fit. And he goes on and says, measure yourselves by the faith that God has given us. So just recognize, as we grow, as we come closer to Jesus, and this is the interesting thing, the more we become like Jesus, the more God shapes us and changes us inside, the more we realize that we're not all that great. Because the more we understand how great God is, the more we understand how pathetic we are and how great God's love was. Kirk was praying about that. We've been singing about that. That's what Christmas is all about. So we understand, wow, I've got nothing, but I've got Jesus. And because I've got Jesus, I am something. But so that's what he's saying. In accordance with the measure of faith, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. So he says, realize you're not the top. You're not the best. You're not the most important part. And this, again, is important because it ties into where he's going here in a second. And the second thing he says is you're on the team. Now, we're going to get into more of this next week. And so if you're next week, you're like, oh, you already talked about that. Yes, I did. But understand that you're on the team. This is a team thing here. And I'm not going to say anything else because that's next week. But we're on a team, and a team has different parts. And those parts have different functions, and those parts work together. And so you're not here. If you're a Christ follower, you're not on your own. You're not better than everyone else, but you're not on your own. We're a team. Because God says, look, I want you to create this picture. I want you to do this. And understand that, you know, the person that has the blue is no better than the person that has the red. Because if you don't have the blue, then you miss his legs. If you don't have the red, then Charlie doesn't have a jacket. And the ornament was supposed to be red. Ha ha, you did something wrong. The ornament was supposed to be red. But you know, the idea that everybody has a part, because we're on a team together. And this is what he says in verses 4 and 5. He goes on and says, just as our bodies have many parts. Now, if you're not aware of the fact that your body has many parts, what to tell you? Get old, I guess would be the answer. Get old, because the older you get, you realize how many parts you have when those parts stop working the way they're supposed to. Just for what it's worth, I'm pretty sure that I've either bruised or broken my foot because I decided to walk on stilts one day. I have pain in my foot. I decided to spend that day before on Saturday and spent hours learning to walk on the stilts for the point on Sunday, and have ever since been experiencing pain on the bottom of my foot. I don't think that would have happened years ago, but apparently as I'm aging, those things, you know, don't work the way they're supposed to, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a bad stilt walker. But we have many parts. Our bodies physically have many parts. And every part has a special function. All of your parts work together. And again, we're going to get more into this next week, but understand that every part of your body has a special function. Your feet are good for walking. These feet were made for walking. Anyway, those were boots. But anyway, but you know, you got feet, you got hands, you have eyes, you have all sorts of parts made for all sorts of important things. And again, you don't realize it until these parts stop working. You don't realize how important your lungs are until you like flip your motocross bike and realize that you have fluid in them and you can't breathe. I don't know. My lungs are doing their thing, I guess. You know, and honestly, I have asthma, and it doesn't take much. If I go into a house that has a lot of pets and cats, you have no idea how important your lungs are until you're walking around, get winded in everything you do. So our bodies, every part has a special function. And so it is with Christ's body, with us as followers of Jesus, with the church, body of Christ. Believers, Christ followers, the church, they're all the same. Same phrase, same word, same group of people. And then he goes on and says, we are many parts of one body. And I think sometimes and we'll get into this more next week, but we lose some of this analogy because we're so used to saying, especially if you grew up in church, we say the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. But if you thought about what a body does and how it works together, and Paul says, look, We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Paul says, look, don't think that you're better than anyone else. You're not. But realize that you're on the same team. That we are all together trying to accomplish the task that God has put before us. And so we need to work together. And seriously, like, I should have just skipped the whole, like, doing it wrong and then you can fix it and do it right. I should just said, this is the way it's supposed to be done. Because did you notice the way they work together? Okay, you've got this color, you work here. Okay, you've got that color, why don't you do this over here? Why don't you put this over there? And that is what Paul is saying, is that we're all on the same team. And the thing that's so interesting here, and this is a challenge, I think, for American church, is that we are all on the same team. Well, yeah, MC3, right, come on, bring it, 5 years, yeah, whoop, whoop. But we are also on the same team as the church down the street, and I'm not pointing in any direction, that has a whole bunch of little old ladies, and there's 12 of them, and they meet and listen to an organ on Sunday mornings. Because we're all on the same team. And we're on the same team as the church that does things differently than us. Which is pretty much everybody, because we're weird. But we're all on the same team. We're all part of this body. We're all part of this team that is working together to accomplish what God has set out for us, and that is to make disciples. And we are going to reach different people. And this is what, you know, what George, our benefactor here who has done so much for us, we gave him the plaque on our 5th anniversary Sunday. He said, like, just amazed at how many young people are there. Well, it's because we're kind of, that's our intent. We're trying to reach next generations. And there's other churches that are reaching old people that we could, older people than we could never reach. And there's people that are like, you know what, the music just drives me nuts. Great. Go somewhere where you love the music and grow in Jesus. I mean, because we're all on the same team. And understand that you are part of the team. You are. You are part of the team. And we'll get into this next week. So I'm get excited about this stuff. So next week I'll be more excited too. Just understand that when it comes to this, that we're all on the team together. And then the third thing that Paul brings out is that you've got the tools. See, God says, I want you to make disciples. I want you to do this thing. I want the world to see me through you. I want people to come and understand more about what I have done by sending my son to die for you, by sending him to this earth to be born as a human being so that he could live among human beings without sin. And therefore, when he dies without sin, even though he doesn't deserve the death, you can receive the life that he offers. And that is our job. To share that message, to make disciples. And that is your job as part of this team. And God didn't say, just figure it out. He didn't say, good luck. He's given us the tools to do it. And maybe it would have been better, like I said, they were way too resourceful here. But, you know, if I said, go for it and gave you nothing, you know, maybe you'd, like, start writing in blood or something like that. And, you know, I had a lot of coffee, so my spit looks brown, and I got to rub that on there. I don't know. We don't want to go any further than that. My kids are painted with things in their young ages. But anyway, but God didn't say figure it out. God says, I'm giving you the tools. God says, here's your task, and here are the different colors to make it happen. And I don't know if you can even see from there if the light's right, but these are the five colors that are in that picture. Exactly. There's no extra color, there's no maybe, there's no, what's this for, I don't know. They're all here so that painting, that picture could be recreated perfectly. And so that's what God has done. He has given us the tools to accomplish that. And this is what he says in verses 6 through 8. He goes on and says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And the word there, it says in his grace, that's charis, and then he says God has given us different gifts. The Greek word for gift is charisma, and it means a gift of grace. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. There's nothing about you that makes you special, and God's like, yes, you are so cool here. Have this. And these are charisma. They're gifts of grace. They're given to us because we don't deserve them. And so God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And we'll come back to this in a little bit. But understand that we have been given the tools. God says, I want you to do this. And he goes on and says, if God has given you the ability, this is like a for example. Let me give you a list of some ideas, some options here. Which, by the way, that is the one thing that we're not really covering in this month. What's my gift? Is there a way I can find out? We can talk about that more, but it's not, there's just, it's way too broad and at the same time way too unique, because God has given us each different gifts for different purposes. So we're not going to get into all that, unfortunately, but we can certainly at least create the conversation to begin thinking. Because maybe you have been here, maybe you are a follower of Jesus, and you've never realized that you have been given one or more gifts for the sake of the body. And so he says, we've been given gifts to do certain things well. So, for example, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, and the word prophesy, and this is one of those things, like, maybe I have the gift of prophet. I can see the future. If you paid any attention to anything that we've talked about, prophet was one that spoke on behalf of God. And sometimes they told the future because God said, I want you to tell them this is what's going to happen. And so in our context, I mean, the idea of prophecy means someone that is willing to speak out boldly for God. And so he says, if you have the ability to prophesy, if God has given you that gift, and again, these are, we'll get into this, but these are spiritual gifts. These are unique things. These are like, wow, how is it that they can just boldly talk about Jesus like that? Maybe it's because God has given them the gift of prophecy. Maybe that's what God has in His Spirit, in His Holy Spirit, has provided that gift to that person. And I should clarify this too. I don't know if we'll talk about this in a couple weeks. I think we will a little bit. But gifts aren't an excuse. So I want to be clear about that. We're going to get here to teaching. One of the things. So, you know, if your gift is teaching. So if you're like, well, I'm not gifted in teaching, so I don't have to teach my kids anything. God doesn't give me that gift, but they're on their own. No. And we're going to talk, another one of the other gifts is evangelism. That person has the gift of telling people about Jesus, so I don't have to worry about it. No, there are some general principles that God says, no, you need to be sharing Christ with people. You need to be an example for the people around you and be teaching your children as you raise them up. So there's some big things. But as the body works together, there are some unique things that are like, wow, that person has been placed exactly where God wanted them for an exact purpose. So, if you're getting this, if you need the ability of prophecy, speak out, prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, and the Greek word here is diakonia, it means to be a servant. You might have heard the phrase deacons. The Bible talks about deacons, servants. If you have the gift of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. I love the Greek word here, to encourage. It's parakaleo. And it's two words. It means to come alongside of. And I love that picture of encouragement. Like, there are some people that, man, they're just encouraging. They can come up to you and say, Sean, you're the ugliest person I've ever seen. And I'm like, thank you. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's people that are like that because God has given them the gift of encouragement. Now, they would never say that because that's not where their gifts lie. But this idea of coming alongside. And so, you know, if you're someone that can serve, serve. Because God has given some of you, not that nobody else is supposed to serve. We're supposed to serve everyone around us. Jesus said that for everybody. But some people have the gift of serving. And they're the ones, there's a spill and they're cleaning it up. No one said anything. It just happens. And we don't need to sit around and be like, oh, well, they're always trying to get the limelight. No, because we already talked about, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Don't think of yourself better than others. There are some people that's just what they do. And then there's people that are teaching. If you're a teacher, teach well. If God has given you the ability to teach, then do it. Put your heart into it. I personally feel like teaching is one of my gifts. One of my gifts from God. And you might be like, no, he's wrong about that. We can talk later. That's fine. But here's the deal. And this is part of it, right? Because this is where I am, this is where I feel I don't just teach because I should. I teach because I love it. When I get a week off or 2 weeks away from teaching or whatever, I can't wait to get back. I love the break. It's healthy. It's a good thing for me to take a break, but I can't wait. And I think, and I'm like, ooh, what can I do now? How can we teach this? How can we communicate this idea? And that excites me. But here's the other side of this. And I'm way off topic now, but anyway, we'll deal. But the other thing about this is that because it's my gift, it can be easy for me to be lazy in it. Because I can tell you from experience, not by choice, because I'm way too anal retentive for that, but by experience, sometimes things that happen where I have been put on the spot and they said, hey, you're a pastor, why don't you come up here and teach this passage? I don't like that at all. That just, like, you give me a plan, that's fine. We schedule it in, I'm good. You bring me up spontaneously, but at the same time, I can make it happen because it's part of who God has created me. And so I have to be careful that when it comes to studying and preparing and teaching God's Word, that I don't wing it, because God's Word is way too important for me to wing it. And so Paul says, if your gift is teaching, teach well. And he goes on and says, encouraging, if it is giving, give generously. Some people are just givers. They just give. And it doesn't mean the rest of us shouldn't give. We are all supposed to give. Giving is part of our worship. Giving is part of caring for others. We need to give to people in need. But some people, that's just their thing. Here's the thing. You don't know who those people are, because you have been given gifts from them. You have been received money from them. And you'll never know, because that's part of their thrill of giving. It's kind of this cool, like, Christ, body of Christ thing that God... But there are people that are just... That's what they do. And all of a sudden, there'll be a check. Well, probably not a check, because then they would say there'll be a cash envelope in your mailbox. There'll be this thing. And that's because God has given people that gift. Not that everybody else shouldn't give, but there's just some people that thrive on that because that's the way God wired them. And again, I'm way off subject here, but we're having fun. If God has given you the leadership ability, and some people God has gifted to lead, and when you get your ATU pack for this month, the last week is just spectacular. It's so cool. You guys need to grab your pack, take it home, do that last week, because we start literally unpacking these different gifts. And literally, did I say that enough? And this idea of leadership. God has called people to lead, and we need leaders. And we also need to realize we don't need to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, that we're better than who do they think they are. No, it's about leadership. But it doesn't mean that, I don't have any gifted with leadership, so I don't have to lead anybody. No, you do need to be an example. You do need to lead. So there's just some special things going on here that God has given, and we'll get to that in a second. And so if he's given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. You know, this isn't a joke. This isn't for you to flaunt your authority. This is for you to lead as a servant leader that God has called us to do. And then finally, if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. There are people that love to care for others. They're just kind. They're just gentle. And do it gladly. So the point is that Paul says God has given us different gifts. This is just some of them. We'll get into some more. We're not going to cover everything, but we're going to get into some more over the next few weeks. But he says God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. See, as the body of Christ, as the whole team, as the whole group, to accomplish the purpose that God has set out for us, he's given us the tools. And they're different, and we'll see that in a moment. So, when it comes to painting the perfect picture, remember that you're not the top, you're on the team, and you've got the tools. So, the point is, if you are a Christ follower, if you have decided to follow Jesus, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and believe that he took the punishment that you deserve, that is what it means. Simple as that. By grace you have been saved through faith. If that is you, then you're a gift bearer. You have at least one or more gifts. And that's where we're going to stop. I have more to teach, but that's where we're going to stop as far as the concept. You've got a gift. We're not going to talk about what to do with it yet. We're not going to talk about how it works, but just understand that that is you, that you have been given a gift or more. You are a gift bearer. So, let's talk about these different colors. God has handed out the colors to us. God has handed out the gifts to us. They're unique and they're special. And so I want to talk a few things about our gifts, just in general terms, just to kind of understand what this means, what this looks like, and how it kind of fits together. The first thing is that our gifts are descended from God. That's grammatically incorrect, but deal with that too. Sorry. It's just a hard day for some of us. Okay, but our gifts are descended from God. Have descended from God, maybe. Understand that our gifts are from God. And this is important. Our gifts are from God. And this is what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Let me tell you about God. He is amazing. See? Spectacular. And let's see if that doesn't make it. However, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. See, you have been given a gift because of God. It is from God. It is not you. It is not your special power. You didn't earn it. You didn't, like, magically make it up. God has given you gifts, and they are from Him. And that's going to matter in a moment. But understand that the gifts that we have are from God. They are spiritual gifts, is what we call them. Spiritual gifts. Why are they called spiritual gifts? Because they are from the Spirit. They're from the Holy Spirit, who is living in us as a follower of Jesus, and He has given us specific gifts. And it's important to understand, because these aren't just like, yeah, you know, well, first of all, let me back up. They're not talents. A talent is different from a spiritual gift. God has given me the gift to kick field goals. No, He hasn't. Sorry, that's really cool. And please, use your gift for kicking field goals for God's, or use your talent, use your talent for kicking field goals for God's glory. But that's not a spiritual gift. Gifts are spiritual things, and again, there's a whole bunch of them throughout the Bible in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and then there's some in 1 Peter. And they are designed specifically for the body of Christ. They're designed specifically to build God's church. And so they are spiritual gifts. They are given from Him. And so there might even be a moment where you're like, you know, and this is, you know, you talk to someone like, wow, that was really good. Or how did you do that? Or I saw the way that you're like, I don't even, like, I just did it. Like, it's something God has done through me. You know, you kind of have those moments. And that sounds like kind of spiritual, because it is. And some of it's like undefinable. But they are gifts from God. And so you have a gift or two, and your gift is from Him. And so it's important to realize that. This isn't your own thing. This isn't for you to kind of hold, and we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. This isn't like, yeah, look what I've got. It's awesome. It's mine. My precious. Okay. No, it's nothing like that. It's for you to share, and we'll get to that later. Spoiler. But it's not yours. It's given from God for a purpose. And I want you to, that's important to understand. That these aren't just special talents or abilities. And sometimes, I mean, you know, God has amplified talents. And I don't have time to get into all of it. We said this is kind of a basic overview of this series. But you know, there are people that have talents. And there are people that have spiritual gifts. And sometimes God has taken those talents and said, okay, now I'm going to amplify. You're now following me. You're going to use this talent. I'm going to gift you with the ability to do this, whatever this is. Whether that's encouraging, serving, teaching, the various different things we were talking about already. But they're gifts. They're not just talents. And the whole point of a spiritual gift coming from God is that it's not for you just to flaunt and to hold on your own. The second thing about our gifts, they're descended from God, and they are different from others. And I'm not sure if there's supposed to be an apostrophe there or not. I was going back and forth. There was other, apostrophe S, others, S apostrophe, other, apostrophe S, apostrophe, I don't know, S. But they're different from others. Your gift or gifts are not the same as everyone around you. Now, given the fact that there is a large crowd of us here, and there's a church around the world, the body of Christ around the world, that yeah, people are going to have the same gifts. But you can't look at the person next to you and say, oh, well, you're clearly not as good as me, because this is my gift and you don't have that gift. You should have the gift that I have. I mean, there's nothing like that. 1 Corinthians 12, again, Paul planted a church in Corinth, and he says to them, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. He says, we all have gifts. We've all been given gifts. They have descended from God, but they are different. And that's important to understand, because it's so easy. And this is why Paul said in Romans 12, don't think of yourself better. You're not the top. Because it's easy for us to say, well, this is my gift, and yours is different than mine, and I don't think it's quite good enough. No, they're different. they're unique, and their purpose is together to make a difference, to accomplish the task that God has put before us. And here's the thing too about that, like, different, first of all, means not the same. And this is a challenge. This is a challenge. And this is one of the things. Like, I have a friend whose gift is evangelism, and this guy, some of you know him, and dude, like, he just, like, oozes talking about Jesus. I'm like, I was just asking you whether you wanted ketchup or mustard. I didn't need to know that the ketchup reminded you of the blood of Jesus and how it was such a powerful testimony to you that he died on the cross. Like, seriously, just ketchup or mustard. But he oozes, without sounding weird with ketchup and mustard, but he oozes Jesus. And I remember talking to him one time, and he had his challenge is looking at other people that don't go around saying, let me tell you all about Jesus, because Jesus is amazing. And that's all true. But he looks at it like, well, they're not necessarily following Jesus the way they should. And I had to caution him and say, look, no, your gift is different. Your color is different. God has given us all these tools to accomplish one composite task, one painting, but the colors are different. And we'll look at this a little bit more over the next couple of weeks, but you can't look at a different color and say, well, that color is wrong. I clearly have blue, and anyone else that's not blue is wrong. No, if everybody was blue, the picture would be just blue. It would be, who is it? Dali, Salvador Dali, that had the blue period? Maybe that was Monet or Mane or Money. I don't know. But a little art history there for you from the expert. But the point is that we all have different gifts, and it's important that you realize that, and that these gifts, like I said, we're on a team. They work together, and you can't look down upon someone else because their color to paint isn't the same color as yours. That's good. The diversity is good because God has a bigger picture in mind. So our gifts are different from others. And by the way, too, nowhere is there different levels. And this is kind of a hard thing to understand because I am up front and in front of you. And in our American culture, up front means authority. It means power. It means prestige. And that's not the way God has put the body of Christ together. Because the people up front are just as important as the people in the back. And the people that are seen for what they do are no more important than the people that are putting envelopes of money in someone's mailbox. Because we all work together. And so that's important to understand, that we are different. We're different. That's it. The colors are different. But there's nothing more spectacular about any one of these. They are all Crayola super tip markers. But they're different colors. Because we have different gifts. And the third thing about our gifts is that they are determined by God. God has decided, God in His wisdom has decided who gets what. We don't get to choose. We don't earn. And that's, again, all of this comes back to the humility idea. It's because we're nothing, really. We have nothing to offer on our own. We're just sin-tainted people. And God says, no, I am choosing to give you value through my Son. And so our gifts are determined by God. I'm not following my notes here. Up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 11, a few verses later, he says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. God's Holy Spirit gives us the gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. See, God has decided what gifts you have. You have been gifted. You have been given gifts. God said, here's the challenge. Here's the task before us, and I am choosing to hand out the colors. And honestly, I don't know, maybe I would have known better if I had, like, superior knowledge of all things past, present, and future. I might have said, oh, clearly Carrie deserves brown. I don't know why, but, you know, and God does know why. I guess that's what I'm getting at. We don't get it, but God does. When He gives out the colors, God understands. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And so you've got a gift. It's from Him, and it's different from everyone else's. And so this is important because it's sometimes easy, like on one side, to be what Paul was warning about in verse 3 of Romans 12, to say, yeah, I'm better than you. My gift is more important. I'm up front, and so I matter. And so there's that negative issue there. But on the other side, it's sometimes easy for us to go, why can't I have what they have? I've got, I don't know what your color feelings are, but I've got brown. Brown's kind of boring in my mind. Why can't I have blue? Red? Why can't I have what they have? Why can't I be like that? What I've got doesn't matter. And I want you to understand that it does. And this comes back to sophrenia. To think of yourself wisely. Not more highly, but not lesser either. Because God says, I am putting this whole thing together. And if everybody, as we said, if everybody had the same color, the drawing wouldn't work out. He knows. And He's choosing you and giving you the gift because of His great wisdom, because of His understanding, because of His perfect plan. And here's the thing, and I just want to say this to you. Like, again, we want this series to maybe just stir in you, okay, what is my gift? What are my gifts? How do I serve God? What do I need to do? And all that. And in that process, don't miss that they're all important. Don't miss that they all matter. And so don't come through this series and at the end you're like, yeah, my gift is just encouragement. Well, you probably wouldn't if your gift is encouragement. That's not how you'd be, honestly. You'd be like, sorry, it doesn't even work that way because it's gifts. It's an amazing thing. It's a passion. But you know what I mean? I don't want you to be like, yeah, I just never give. And I don't have the chance. I don't serve people like I watch them serve. And man, there's a problem. They're right in and helping. And those people over there, oh, man, everywhere they go, they talk about Jesus. And I try. All I ever do is encourage people. Don't ever play that kind of a game. Because let me tell you, from experience, from compassion, encouragement, I'm not good at that. I suck at it. My wife is compassionate everywhere, and it's good because she kind of kicks me everyone like, Sean, hello, and in a compassionate way. But I struggle with that, and I want you to know that sometimes the people that have the gift of encouragement have come alongside me, and they're like, you know, I don't have any money to help with this project, and you know, I'm not really good at being upfront. But Sean, I just want you to know that what you said last week meant so much to me. And I want you to know that those words to me kept me going and kept me doing what God has called me to do. And that's how we work together, because all the pieces work together. They're all important. They're determined by God, because God says, I'm going to work this thing. I've got this challenge in front of you, and I'm going to give you the gift. I'm going to give you the tools to make it happen. So don't ever think that what you've got doesn't matter. Don't ever think that you're better than anyone else, because we are on the same team together. We are making this thing happen. Well, God is making this thing happen through us. And here's, we did a series a few years back called You Don't Know Jack, up in the top left there. And one of the weeks we said, you don't know what God wants to do through you. And you might be saying, well, I'm not up front. I'm not that big. I don't have an important position, or this gift isn't all that spectacular. But I just want to tell you, you have no idea what God wants to do through you. And maybe, not maybe, on purpose, God says, I want you to have this gift, and I have given it to you because you are going to do something that you don't even realize. And so if you ever want to go back and listen to the point from the You Don't Know Jack series at mc3church.org, just listen to that, and if you're in that spot where you're like, eh, I don't know if mine's that big of a deal. God is using people, and He uses us, and sometimes we're like, what's the point? And God says, I know the point. I know the plans I have for you. I've got a plan. I'm a big God, and I see it all. I know it all, and I know what I'm doing. And we have to trust Him for that and realize that God has given us gifts on purpose. So our gifts are from Him. They're descended from God. They're different from others. They're different. It's important. Different means not the same. And again, I'm just saying that, like, well, obviously. But the more you get into this, there's this comparison kind of thing going on. And we can't do that. Because we're together. We're on a team together. And again, that's what next week's all about. And I probably ruined the entire point, so I have no idea what I'm going to teach next week. But the idea that we are together, and the fact that they're determined by God. That you have your gift not by accident, not because you earned it, and not because God's like, yeah, you know what, you're kind of a loser, so I'll just give you that one. No, no, no. God has on purpose decided what gifts we have and why. Because He has a task before us, and He's given us everything that we need to do it. If you're a Christ follower, then you're a gift bearer. There's no question. There's no maybe. There's no, the only maybe part would be the Christ follower part. Have you chosen? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you given your life to following Him, recognizing His death on the cross for you? If you have done that, then you're a gift bearer. You've got them. One more. And I say one or more because it's not really clear. Like, I don't think you have all of them. I don't think you have all the spiritual gifts that are mentioned throughout Scripture. You probably have, you definitely have one. Probably have more than one. But there's no real definitive way to say this is accurate, at least from a biblical standpoint. So, at the very least, I can assure you that as a follower of Jesus, you've got at least one gift. You are a gift bearer. You've got it. And we'll talk next week about why. And the following week, we'll talk about what to do about it. But right now, I just want you to realize that, understand that, that if you're a Christ follower, then you're a gift bearer. And I also want to say to you, if, you know, right now you're here, you're listening, if you're listening online to this, this series builds. Don't miss, if you miss a week, listen to it online. Because I don't want you walking out here going like, okay, I've got a gift. Now what? We'll get there over the next few weeks. So these 3 weeks are very intricately connected. Again, you'll see that. So that's the point. If you're a Christ follower, then you're a gift bearer. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank You so much that You, in Your wisdom, in Your superior plan, in Your grace, we don't deserve this. We don't deserve to be along with You on this task. But You have given us, in Your grace, this undeserved privilege to serve alongside the living God, to serve on Your behalf as ambassadors of Jesus, to tell the world, to make disciples of this world so that there will be more people that follow You, that know the hope that You have offered. And God, we thank You that You have given us the gifts to do it. You've given us the tools to make it happen. And I pray that You would help us as we go through this series, as we begin thinking about this. Maybe this is the first time we've heard about this. Maybe we've heard about this and known about it, but never really done anything about it. I just pray You would help us to explore our gifts so that we can work together as a team to spread the message, to make the disciples of Jesus. Thank You so much for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.